So we talk about the transfer of learning quite a bit. It's something we hear a lot whenever we're delivering training. But how do you ensure a transfer of learning and how do you measure it? That's coming up now. And here we are in the HR Hub podcast with me, Andrea Adams. Keep listening to learn about this and anything related to HR. You can also find me on YouTube. Today, my guest is Michelle Ellis. Michelle works for a software company that specializes in learning management systems. She worked for Disney in an L&D role for a number of years. She has a PhD in training and performance improvement. She's a lifelong learner, and her passion is releasing the potential in others. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. So I'm just going to dive into the first question. When we're doing training, we talk about the transfer of learning a lot. Can you summarize what's meant by this?
So for me, it's not looking at learning as a finish line, but more as a starting line. So when I think about training or education, it's imparting knowledge or information. So that's kind of information coming from outside in. And when I think about learning, it's like, what do I do with that? Then how do I internalize that? And so if you think about the transfer of learning being not the finish line, but the starting line, it's like, I've got the information now. What do I do with it? How do I internalize that? How do I transfer that learning? Or how do I extract what I've learned to apply it to my everyday life, the real world experiences? As a teacher, you know, when I was a teacher, I would attend in-services and then go back to my classroom and then just, you know, try to figure out how do I put this together? Because the way they teach it in a class isn't always the way it's going to apply when you get back to the real world. And so you have to sort of make it your own. You have to keep trying to transfer that learning in a way that works for you, for the environment you're going to leverage it in. So when I was at Disney, there's an organization within Disney called Disney Institute, and they also offer training, but they offer like Disney insights and learning to external companies. So like IBM, Chick-fil-A, think of right. Anybody who wants to learn the secrets behind what it is to work at Disney. And so one of the feedback pieces that we would get is, this is great information, like how to treat my guests or how to treat, you know, customers and service them and provide that great guest experience. But how do I make that work for my business? I don't run a theme park. So it's that kind of experience of thinking about the learning, you know, as experience, but then going back to your environment and trying to figure out how do you make it fit for your culture, your people, the information and the behaviors you're trying to change.
Okay, it's somewhat obvious why this is important, but you might be able to flesh that picture out a bit. So tell us, why is this important?
Well, first of all, it's the investment. Right? Your own personal investment in time, as well as potentially your company, your organization's investment in time. And so, you know, I think we're all guilty of maybe going to a conference or attending a session, and we're all hyped up and excited. And then we get back to our cubicle or our office or our home office, and we put that binder or those handouts on the shelf, and we go right back to doing what we used to do. And so I think you have to ask yourself, why did I invest in that training in the first place? Or why did my employer invest in me going to that training or that conference? And they obviously wanted to have a change in behavior. They wanted to help you improve your skills or advance your career or learn something new. And so I think you really have to take the time to consciously and actively, preemptively think about what it is you want to get from that and make that your goal. It's kind of like, you know, when you're packing for a trip, you don't wait till you get to your destination to decide what you want to bring with you, what you want to wear, where you want to go, and what you want to eat. So I think it's important because you have to think about what you want to extract from that learning to be a better person, to be a better employee, those types of things.
I just think about this year, you listed going to courses and conferences, you know, or just like reading books. Mm-hmm. Loads of time in reading a book, and like I'm so guilty for this, of how many books do I read and then I... When you go to conferences or you take a course, how do you incorporate take what you've learned and incorporate it back to the workplace?
I do two things. So again, back to this sort of preemptively, like I look at the agenda, the speakers, you identify which conferences and things you want to go to, what topics are most interesting to you right now. And so I'll look at that and I'll see what the objectives are for that session. And then I try to figure out for myself, like what I already know about this topic and what don't I know? And what is it that I want to take away is the what I don't know kind of thing. I'm sort of reinforcing what I know. Right. Okay. I know that. But there's new things that I can take away from that. So I'm kind of old school in the sense that I take notes, like not on a digital, you know, device, but really take handwritten notes because I'm a visual learner as well. I think that's why reading is more impactful for me than, let's say, audiobooks. But I take my notes and I use sort of systems of highlighting, flags, things that'll tell me like, okay, here's something I might want to use and something I might develop future for our leadership program, or, you know, here's something I might want to use with my team, or here's something I might want to use for myself. And so I take that back, and I sometimes have post-its. You can't see them right now, but I will post-it notes in front of me to remind me of some of these things that I've learned that I'm trying to incorporate as like a habit. And so that's the way I sort of take and extract the learning before I even get there. And then while I'm there, what I'm trying to get, and then how do I use it? So it's sort of like that before, during, and after the event. How am I going to continue to transfer and learn what I'm doing?
That's very intentional. We could all
be.
Yeah. We could all learn something from that. So when we're training or paying for training, so we're the ones doing it, what are the easiest ways to ensure that the people that we're training take it away and transfer it into the workplace?
So I start, again, I think about the end in mind, right? Setting those expectations for myself or with the if I'm teaching a session myself, like I'm doing right with our leadership program, is help them understand, like, here's what we're going to be learning. Think about what you want to take away from this. So being purposeful in that sense, and start trying to figure out what's your why. So why are you investing the time to do this? Why are you attending it, right? And sometimes it's also thinking about the pitfalls that can happen when you give back. So if I think about, this is what I want to learn, but I also need to think about, I'm going to come back to my job, my regular whatever career, what I'm trying to do, and how am I going to hold myself accountable? How am I going to, is it going to be through sharing that with my leader? Is it going to be with sharing with my team members the things that I'm working with? Is it just my small, you know, peer group that I'm like, hey, I learned something new, I'm going to try this out, can you be my accountability buddy? You know, if you see me doing this really well, let me know. If you don't, please give me that feedback too. You know, where you said you were going to work on this, but in that meeting, you didn't, you know, step up and share your voice, if that's what I'm working on. So having that accountability partner, I think, really helps a lot too. And it kind of helps you think about potential opportunities to apply diligently or purposefully apply what you've learned and try to incorporate that into your behaviors.
So when you're actually doing the training, do you make them tell you what their why is at the beginning? And do you make them identify an accountability partner? Are these things you would actually do in training to maximize the transfer of learning into the workplace?
I've seen it done. I have done it in some. I do it a little less. I do it more covertly is what I'd like to say.
Tell us about covertness.
So in that sense is like, I probably set up things. I set up the group or the session that we're talking about around what's your purpose? Why you're, you know, get to your why, you know, why are you wanting to be a leader? Why are you wanting to, you know, why you're wanting to learn more about having a performance conversation? So it really gets them to have the investment in that sense. So in that sense, they're already identifying a little bit about like their intentionality. And so I think about, okay, so being intentional, I ask more questions on, so what does that look like when you go back to your team? And sometimes I bake that into our social chats that are part of our learning cohort. So I ask them like, what will you do with your team? How will you share this information? So I'm trying to help them figure out that they need to have an accountability partner. And then a lot of times I share my own examples.
So lots of people get sent to training and they don't know why they're there. Or they just don't even want to be there. Yeah. How do you get people like that to transfer? And so in many cases, they're the ones that need to transfer the learning the most. How do you help their transfer of learning?
So for in those situations, I feel like the leader has to take a little more, I won't say accountability, but a more active role. Okay. So for example, if I know I need to send someone to diversity inclusion training because maybe they're not being inclusive and they're not contributing to an inclusive environment.
That's a perfect example.
In that example, what I would do is I would as the leader seek to understand like what is that course that I'm sending them to or what is it that they're going to be learning in that session and identify almost like an action plan for them, but not share it with them, so that I understand, like, if these are the topics that are covered, where do I see their opportunities? What are the things I think they need to become maybe either emotionally intelligently aware of or self-aware of, right? And then I would use those opportunities to say, when they come back, like, so what did you hear or what did you learn about self-awareness, interaction with others, managing your emotions? And I'd ask them a lot of probing questions to have them almost have the aha of, oh, these are the areas that I need to focus on, or these are the examples where I can try to improve.
Yes. How does HR, the ones that are facilitating this course or whatever, how do they help the leader do what you do?
So that's an interesting question and very timely, because we're currently launching our very first ever leadership development program within Intellum. And so one of the learning tactics that I am deploying is, as I create sort of what I'll call the participant handouts on the content and the insights that we're driving or deriving from the content, I am taking that handout and I'm taking out sort of the superfluous stuff like quotes and images and things like that. And I'm boiling it down to almost like an executive overview. Like if you think about an executive overview for an article or a book, I'm providing that to the leader of the participant who's in my session, in my cohort, to say, these are the topics that we are thinking about. These are the topics we are discussing, either learning about on our in our content or discussing in our scheduled events, live sessions. And so these are the things that you can start having conversations with your employee about during your one-on-one, when you talk about performance management or coaching or diversity inclusion. And so it gives them some insight, having not attended that program and not being a learning professional, to say, okay, here are some topics that I can draw from. And then one of the things we also did at the very beginning of the program as part of the overview was had a session with both the leaders of and the participants to say, how do you start having conversation around what they're learning? Like, what are some conversation starters? So we gave them a handout to say, like, here's some ways to ask questions to get the conversation started now about the program itself, but ongoing as you go on, to check in on their development, to check on their progress. So we're kind of, it's not like spoon feeding or hand holding, but it's really preparing a, like a little toolkit for the leader of to help the learner, you know, get better at whatever the topic is that we're focusing on.
Yeah. You know, when we think about the things you could do, that we as facilitators or whatever, so our role is overseeing training or helping make it happen. Like, what are the easiest or most effective ways of ensuring that that transfer of learning happens? You've just talked about the leadership one. You could talk about the personal one to make sure that the learning transfers into the workplace.
So I'm going to take, like, I would say from the learning and development professional or HR professional, it's that gap analysis, I think, at the very beginning, like what's the ideal state and what's, you know, the actual state of what's going on, and knowing what you want that finish line to be, and then trying to figure out the quantitative and the qualitative data that you want to use to see if you move that needle. So in a sense, like you can do the survey and you can say, yes, you know, I've learned something, this was impactful, it's good use of my time. You know, you can go all the way up to getting feedback quantitatively from the leader to say, yes, their behavior has improved, I see a transfer. But then there's qualitative that sometimes we miss out on. And I think a lot of organizations, they kind of skip over this because it's sometimes labor intensive in the sense of like gathering a focus group and saying, you are a group of people who've attended this program. Tell us how it's impacted you in your role. Would you recommend it for others? Why or why not? What could be done to improve it? Either for you, your leader, or the organization. And so again, back to how do we think about the people who really can have an impact on transfer? It's the leader, the employee, and the organization that can help when it comes to maybe that learning culture. And so I think by getting that qualitative feedback, you're hearing more of the story, not just the data and the numbers. And so that can help you strengthen the transfer of learning opportunities or abilities to extract that learning. through the story that you're hearing from the actual participants and how they've applied some of this stuff or how they haven't and why. And what, again, are those barriers to them applying it? Because I think that's equally important. We don't really think about what's going to happen when you go back to your workspace and you try to apply these. So I think that's something else I try to bake into from a learning and development person. I try to bake into my learning is educating the participants that you are going to leave this experience a changed person, but you are going back into an unchanged environment. You know, if you're one of a like I might leave and go to a conference on finance for non-financials and go back to my department and nobody has all this wonderful golden nuggets of knowledge that I've just learned and I'm trying to apply it. And everyone's else like, oh, well, we've tried that. Oh, you know, like, don't worry, it's a fad, it'll pass. And so how do you get over those obstacles that are going to become, that are going to keep you from applying that transfer of learning when you get back? How do you keep having the perseverance and the resilience to keep doing, you know, trying it out to make it work?
It's so, so true. Okay. You talked a little bit about measurement in there. Tell me about measurement. How do we measure transfer of learning?
I think it's back to the baseline. Like, you have to have a baseline of where you're starting from to know, and you have to have a goalpost or a vision of where you want to get to your finish line to be able to see, like, are you making micro movements or macro movements towards that goal? And then, you know, through the qualitative and the quantitative feedback from behavioral, like, behavioral changes, like being able to see the change in the person, back to asking the leader if they've seen changes, accountability partners. So I think it's a variety of things that you can measure. But I think it kind of feeds into that learning culture. Like, is there a culture when you go back to your environment that's going to be supportive of gathering that data? A lot of times we'll work with clients at Intellum, and we want to gather that. We have ways to measure that on our end. Like, do we have high engagement? Do we have, from enrollments and those types of things, or conversions? And how do we see people engaging with the content? Are they completing any of the courses and that? So we have data from that perspective. But then we don't also have the data that the organization that we work with leverages. So we don't really know the full spectrum of the story of whether it's making an impact on their business. So for example, if we have a marketing company that's using our learning management system to educate their marketers on Instagram or YouTube or Facebook or wherever they're marketing to, we know if they're coming in and digesting the content and learning and keep repeating and taking more courses through our learning management system, but we don't really know how that impacts our customer, that marketing agency. Like, are they seeing more growth? Are they seeing more returns, more ad space being purchased, things like that? So I think you have to take a lot of that data together and understand what's your baseline and where are those data points throughout that you can kind of tell that whole story.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, that's why a lot of organizations don't do it, or they sort of halfway do it. And how do they make sure that the data aligns, right? The story is consistent. Measurement is tough, because
measurement
is so impactful, but can be very tough.
Measurement in so many things in HR is tough and can be so impactful. Like,
yes,
so true. Okay. What about learning management software? Intellum is learning management software company. So how can that help or any other learning software help the transfer of learning?
What I've found is, and this, I will only speak for Intellum because I don't know necessarily what all of our competitors' tools include, but we've included things like a social chat. So there's not just this sort of one-way self-driven learning, and there's the scheduled event or a face-to-face, which is your typical traditional type of learning, but we've included like a social component to it where we pose a question and we get the participants in a safe cohort to interact with each other, to share stories, to share examples of how they're applying some of this. So it kind of builds team camaraderie, creates that safe psychological space for people to share and be vulnerable and to also learn from each other, sort of that other aspect of the 70-20-10 kind of learning perspective. Yeah. We also have gamification. So it's, how do I earn a badge for replying and being engaged? How do I be seen as an expert? So gamification as a way of reputation building, not just for intrinsic value, but how can I say, hey, I'm sort of like thebomb.com for diversity inclusion, because look, I finished this course or I've done this and those types of things. And so how can we engage them in gamification around some of those things? Have helped as well. And I think accountability tools and time management tools can also help. We don't have time management tools necessarily in our platform, but I think protecting your calendar so that you have time to dedicate for learning and development, for transform, for trying things out. I used to say, like, to my team when I was at Disney, I led a team of like 13 instructional designers, and I said, you have my permission, like, quote me, people, you have my permission to block at least an hour or more a week for you to spend on your own personal development. Like, if you tell me I didn't get this done because I was focused on this, okay, I support your development and let's figure out a way to, you know, still get the work done kind of thing. But I support them taking the time, whether it's a class or things like that. And I think that's another thing and tell them that I appreciate is people block their time and say, I'm using my boost budget, or I'm, you know, doing certain things. I'm at a conference for my boost budget, and people will support that. Or I'm out of office, or I'm in sort of focus time because I'm attending the Intellum Leadership Academy, you know, those types of things. And I think accountability tools, I would love to see somebody come up with something like MyFitnessPal, like a fitness app, but for learning and development, that kind of checks in on me and says, hey, you signed up for this course and you said you were going to do this. How's it going? You know, are your goals still the same? Have they changed? Did you accomplish anything? I mean, that would be futuristic kind of thinking, but.
No, it's not. Coursera does that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Coursera does that. To some extent anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're going to have to leave it there. Well, thanks, Michelle. I'm thinking about the role of the leader and just how important it is in transfer of learning into the workplace. However, we've reached the end of this episode. Thanks for listening out there. We'll catch you next time on a talk with another insightful guest.